I watched it on iPlayer.
Oh, I've got the spinning disc.
I've got it twice.
Yes, I watched it on iPlayer.
Maybe you should try to reboot.
Oh, it's all right. It's found it. It's found it. But I haven't got my own. Look. So when Kirby gets too annoying, I can just do this. You can hear that, can't you? We can't see it unless you go to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, yeah, which you can join, where you'll see.
We haven't started the show yet.
I can't do much about the sound effect, unfortunately, because that's part of my invention. If you obviously follow me on TikTok, you'll
Adam,
see.
Adam, I'm seeing comments now on Facebook. Are you getting any?
Okay.
Personal, Mary?
Yeah, Lillian says light again.
Yeah, we haven't even started yet, and you're already plugging the website.
Yeah.
Dear. Where people are watching, mind you, they'd only be watching if they're on the website, wouldn't they? Okay. Back to my new invention later in the show that can only be viewed via
the spinny disc,
the feed, the video feed. I have, yes, I've got comments coming through. Well done, Mary. Right, yeah. I'm going to start the show now. I don't know who's on it. Who's on it? Who's with me today? I haven't even
know.
Kirby, Mary, Debbie, Robert. Robert, crap window.
I think Kirsty said she's just never going to have time.
Oh, that's why Reese was writing a new book.
Laurie's wondering if you're hypnotizing us with your device.
Yeah,
it's good. Enough.
I was wondering that myself.
Only Apple owners will recognize this.
Well, you're right about that. Yes,
I'm going to get told off because Deb says I'll wear out the battery. Okay, let's get the show started. Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 506. I'm Adam, and Mojo Flo, whatever it was, else he said, and here's Robert Haynes.
Ah, I got a bit wet, and I got electrocuted.
Debbie Melrose.
The rain is going up.
Mary Lang.
Look, I even brought a straw.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You've got a little shop. I love a little shop.
And there's me putting Kirby last in the thought there's a possibility we might have used up all of his potential quotes. That was obviously not going to happen, was it?
Oh, Jadoon Platoon upon the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Crossing into established events is strictly forbidden except for cheap tricks.
And Debbie did use mine.
You will be cataloged. Well, yeah, you guys all used ones that I have listed. It's just that I have a lot listed.
So this week we're going to be reviewing Smith and Jones. So let's get straight on with it and see how far we
can.
Hang on. What did you say?
We're going to talk about that first and that other thing.
No, because you're on the show, and if we do the other thing, then we'll never get the time to do Smith and Jones.
Well, he knows you, Kirby.
Yeah, let's do this first.
I didn't even play the play button. That is a world record of interruptions. Hadn't actually clicked on play before getting interrupted.
I have.
All right, anyway, so the show starts straight into the title sequence, which is quite unusual for this era of Doctor Who. And quite topical that it says Smith and Jones by Russell T. Davies, but we'll cross that bridge later. We see a scene in which a young lady, who we will call Martha, or we could call her previous name, and she was on last series, Adibola, yeah, or something. I can't remember. What was that? An article?
Adeola.
Adeola. Nearly got it right. Anyway, she's wondering.
Identical cousins. How 60s television that seems to be.
Does that upset
or
you?
50s.
Does that upset you, Kirby?
Huh?
Does that upset you, the fact they explained it away with a cousin?
No,
you're funny you should say that. I know cousins who are so alike that I thought they were brother and sister. So it can happen they look a lot alike. But
Master?
I think we should let it roll on this one. I think it's a major issue. Anyway, so she's Master. On the phone.
Master?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Did you know that the director, Charles Palmer, is the related son of to Jeffrey Palmer?
No,
yes,
I didn't. Anyway, she's on the phone to various members of her family who are introduced in a semi-unrealistic scenario of conversation, just so we can see the various characters.
The whole
characters
family.
And
the dynamics.
Master,
and
we also end up with a... We seem to be taking guards from Mind Warp.
What?
Trevor Laird, who plays Martha's father. He was Frax, Guard Commander Frax from...
Oh, yes, he was. I thought I recognised him from somewhere. Probably other shows he's done on British television. Anyway, so, yes, like Robert says, it's so we can have a very quick, not wasting too much time, introduction to the family cast for this series.
Like the podcast.
And then, as she's wandering through, she suddenly wanders into the Doctor, who takes his scarf off, hands it to her and goes, there you go, and sort of confuses
scarf?
Her a little bit.
Tie.
Yeah, I meant tie. Uh-huh. It was hoping I was going to say scarf, just to... Yeah, anyway.
Tom Baker.
Then we see a wide shot, like they do in American programs, of a part of a hospital, which says Royal Hope Hospital, which is ironic, because there wasn't much hope for them, was it?
Master, if you look at the location online, the actual hospital entrance they used for that, the rest of the hospital looks nothing like...
Anyway, Lillian Robbins says, late again. She's goading me. Terry Miles says, hello, Adam Pearce, and then everybody who's on the podcast today. Yes, well done, Terry, because I don't know who's on either. Lillian Robbins said, what's that? That's my spinning disc of... My spinning
hypnotism.
Disc of doom.
Oh, no.
It's very effective, isn't it? Then Laurie Nick says, woot... Are you hypnotising? I might be able to... Actually, I have to get one of those sort of spiral-type designs to do hypnosis. I have to look at that. I just watched the episode of Star Trek when, you know, that one where Kirk's in that seat and, you know, that sort of machine
He's
goes...
He's in the seat a lot on the show, actually.
What?
He's in the seat a lot in
no,
the
No, this
show.
Is the seat... That,
Called the captain's chair.
What? Not his seat.
No, you're talking about the little thing with the... The three lights going in
the
opposite direction.
Yeah, that makes people's minds go funny.
Yes.
It's a very good episode, that. Anyway.
Well, they reused that prop at least twice.
Goodness.
Splendid. Anyway, and then Brandon Moore said, sorry I'm late. I was on the bloody moon. It's an egg. Right,
oh,
so.
I know.
Don't remind me of that.
Anyway, so
just
Martha.
We could end up with Doctor Who that doesn't have bloody eggs on the of the moon. And
please.
Martha arrives at work because she obviously works in this hospital and bumps into the Stig, but Stig's
she's
wearing
a student.
Wearing black a Stig. He's wearing a black suit instead of a white one. Gets dressed up for work and then we meet the Hemivore from. That Doctor Who story we reviewed about a year ago. What was that one called? With Sylvester McCoy in it. Curse
Just
of Fenric.
Fenric.
So she's still alive because she's here in this hospital. Here we go.
She played the nurse.
Yes,
in...
but she became a Hemivore.
Oh, did she? Okay.
I've decided that she became a Hemivore. It was just coincidental, was it? Or why should it be coincidental? She's in a program of the Hemivore and then she becomes
plan.
One. Thank you, Robert. Oh, you're with me on this one, aren't you, Robert?
Well, he would have remembered it, wouldn't he? He says, oh, I got the same nurse. I know, I'll make her a Hemivore.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so anyway, the Doctor...
Well, we also,
this doctor?
Obviously, Master.
Yeah.
Master, with one of the characters, she obviously must be a variant because she's Judge Renslayer from Loki.
Which one would that be, then?
That would be Martha's sister.
Dish.
Oh, I didn't
Dish.
Yeah. Okay, Kirby.
Well done. Oh, thank you.
It'll shut you up for the rest of the podcast. Anyway, right. So there's a whole...
No,
of, yeah, so the doctor who's not the hospital doctor, not the doctor. Oh, how am I going to get around this one? The one with the bald head.
He is the doctor. That's a doctor.
A doctor yeah. is taking the student doctors around and introducing them to the doctor, who's being a bit smug in the bed and doesn't remember the fact. Well, Martha remembers him, but he doesn't remember Martha.
Why is he so smug? He sat there in the bed like that.
He is very smug, isn't he? Great pajamas, though.
Master?
What?
God.
Did you notice that the teaching doctor's name is B. Stoker?
Yeah, Bram Stoker.
As in Bram Stoker?
Dracula, yes.
I didn't. No. I'm glad
actually,
I didn't as well.
Know that.
In the commentary, which you listened to 9 years ago, RTD says that he did not intend that. He was actually referring to a character in another series he had worked on.
Yeah right.
Anyway, the rain's going upwards. Brandon Moore says Kermit's a Hema bore. That's a bit harsh.
Wait on, Brandon.
Very good pun, but a bit harsh. Kirby, just so I don't want you to get grumpy. There you go. Right away. Sorry, there. So the rain starts going upwards.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No. And suddenly the hospital jumps around a lot, and suddenly they're on the moon. They must have like materialized there, because it would take quite a while for them to, you know, to get from the Earth to the moon without any issues with what they call it, inertia. That's what I was looking for.
Well, hold on. Can I just bring something up as well?
What?
It's all a bit of load of rubbish that, you know, the lighting seems to work perfectly as well.
Robert,
yeah, what's up with that?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show, Robert. And they would have had backup power.
Yeah, it's a hospital. It's got a backup generator.
Yeah. There's some great panic acting going on by the extras, I have to say.
Yeah.
What a load of bollocks.
No, it isn't. I worked in a hospital for 30 years, and something that we always were told is, should there be a major power outage?
Mary,
what?
Talking about the utter crapness of the situation. It's just, you expect,
Robert.
I'm sure if the Jadoon had taken Mary's hospital, that the generators would have worked.
Mary?
Yes.
You said worked. Does that mean you're not working in a hospital anymore then?
I'm not. No, I retired a year ago.
You're too young to retire. Come on.
Yes, I know.
That's amazing.
I gathered that you had retired because of the move, but you haven't changed your work stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, you know. How dare you, Mary? How dare you not provide us with lack of your
good
privacy
Lord,
Mary, details?
Goodness sake.
Appalling.
Priorities.
Anyway, I was trying to say, in relation to the Doctor Who story that I'm attempting to talk about, that the extras did some particularly good panic acting.
Yes.
And also, in relation to what Robert said about the hospital going up and having power on the moon or whatever, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Yeah, but it's still
bollocks. Exactly.
The movie is. Backup generators is not.
And can I also say that when unit
HQ be in the basement,
be quiet,
the basement get
be quiet
up as well, no.
When unit HQ ended up disappearing from Earth and landed on Omega's planet, no, just said Omega, Debbie, that was perfectly acceptable apparently in 1973, so why not? This is not acceptable.
Exactly.
What?
That was sustained by Omega's will.
There well, this go. Is sustained by the will of the Jadoon. Shut your face. I'm going to carry on with my Berlin review.
Policeman.
Nah, sorry, not having this. A science fiction fantasy TV show. He's got
the
perfect
Jadoon
right to do what he did.
Use the scoop thing to do it.
The scoop thing?
Yeah.
Scoop thing?
That's what they call
the pooper
how they
scooper?
How they get the...
Pooper scooper. The nice one. Anyway, sorry, back to the... Anyway, so they're all...
It's called an H2O scoop.
Thank you. I think I vaguely remember. Anyway, the Doctor's awake, not awake, he's back in his suit and he starts taking over and takes an immediate liking to Martha because of her attitude. Isn't scaredy cat, she's more sort of, curious and got a bit of,
which is great.
With it, yeah.
And he takes a particular shine to her attitude of not running away from the situation and her cleverness in realizing things like the air won't escape because otherwise it would have escaped already, sort of thing. And they strike up an immediate bond. And
James anyway. Bond.
What? And then a load of spaceships arrive.
Master.
Oh God, I'm,
but
yes.
you went off about the suit. This is the debut of that particular suit.
Okay.
But earlier when he was in his pajamas and dressing gown.
That's the same pajamas and dressing gown he had in Christmas Invasion.
Yeah, I wonder if there was an
I guess that.
Pocket.
And you're going to tell me when he next wears that space, the space suit thing, the orange one, that was the second time he'd worn it since the Satan Pit type episode, aren't you? Or shall we just wait for you to do it anyway?
No, he's not wearing a space suit in this
some point he's going to wear
he's
it. He's
getting ahead of you.
And then when Matt Smith wears it, you'll tell me that's the third time. And when the Capaldi wears it, you'll tell me that's the fourth time.
I wish that Kirsty were on so she could take over some of the stuff. Because someone has to say it.
Well, if Kirsty was, I'm sure Kirsty would need a nudge to wake up on the odd occasion. Where do I get up? Oh, yeah, the Judoon turn up in their very sort of upright cigar state shaped spaceships and march. And the Doctor is. He sort of looks very serious and very cross and goes, the Judoon, as if he would say.
I have to say, Adam, what? That it does make you look at the Judoon a bit differently, having experienced the fact that. That was a female that she broke the horn off of.
Ah.
Remember? So, yeah, now you're looking at the Judoon going, is that a girl or a boy?
Oh, yeah, well done. Debbie.
Say that did cross my mind.
Yeah. Anyway, so eventually the baddie woman from Curse of Fenric sticks a straw in the neck of a doctor. Which is good in some ways, because obviously getting him killed confused the doctor mentionings and characterised their names a little bit for us. So they had to kill him off quite quickly. Anyway, the Judoon come in and start testing people. And if they're human, they're fine. And they get a little X on their hand. The doctor's a bit worried because he's not human.
With a marker.
Nobody else in the hospital has a marker that can go around and...
yeah, very good point, Mary.
Yeah.
No, but this marker's probably got a special Judoon qualities to it. So we'll science fiction fantasy TV program that one. A little ding for that one. Nothing to make.
I've got a picture I took probably around 9 or 10 years ago of... my youngest daughter after watching this decided to put X's on her pants.
Anyway, Terry Miles says, replying to Brandon, I thought Unit HQ landed in Cromer. Well, the Brigadier thought it was Cromer. That's what he says afterwards. And then Brandon said, maybe it was just Chroma key. much better than you at these puns, Kirby. Just trying to point it.
That's Brent, whose show this is. He doesn't get to come in and make jokes.
So the humans are quite safe to a certain degree, as long as they don't sort of backchat the Judoon, otherwise they get zapped. So the doctor is, what is he doing? He's just sort of doing his doctory stuff, going through the computers and trying to work out how to solve the situation they're in. Meanwhile, Martha wanders into a doctor's office and finds the
Dr.
Stig and his
Stoker's
little mate.
Office.
Whatever.
Ram Stoker.
The Stig and a woman with a straw. Obviously, if that's a plastic straw, then it's unacceptable. Then there's a little chase around corridors, a lot of Scooby-Doo time as they run through the some corridors that look slightly familiar. What's that all about? Is that your Scooby-Doo impression?
That was the Scooby sound.
That's what he used to running down corridor scenes because he thinks that is iconic Doctor Who.
Absolutely. I think that's acceptable. Anyway, so the Doctor corners one of the Stigs and zaps him with a load of radiation. But apparently, in
one
this,
did
you hang on, Kirby? Kirby, naughty. There's a, when he's zapping him with the radiation, you also see the skelly bone of the Doctor through his suit. If you look very carefully, because I've just pointed.
What are you calling them?
I'm calling them Stigs, because they look like the Stig
from Top Gear, Kirby.
But they're
called
black
slabs.
Instead of what? Okay, I'm calling them Stigs. Yeah. Who's in charge? Thank you. Anyway, so he zaps them with all this radiation, but unlike the one where he, you know, the one he has to regenerate, he's perfectly all right with radiation on this occasion, and is able to sort of just sort of shed it out through his shoe.
The plot demands it so.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, I just thought of that when he said, "What's right? I can absorb it. I can absorb it."
I hated that shoe bit and. Oh, God.
The doctor said it's only Röntgen radiation. We used to play with Röntgen bricks in the nursery.
Okay, that's fine, Kirby. I'm not moaning about it.
So the other radiation that killed him was not the same radiation.
Okay, I'm over it. I'm over it now, Kirby.
What happened there?
I don't know. Is that Ben coming on? Ben's here.
Sound like a Dalek.
No, Ben's here.
Ben's arrived.
Oh, hang on. He says, hang on. I don't think he's connected his microphone to the doodah that he needs to connect it to. In the process of him doing that, I'm just going to point out that the Doctor's sonic screwdriver, for some random reason, got destroyed. But unlike the Fifth Doctor, he got an exact copy straight away. Are you back? Have you fixed it, Ben?
How's it random? Because
I can hear you, Ben, but
X-ray machine.
But Kirby's talking over you. What do you mean, how it's random?
He's talking about random that you got one straight away.
Yeah, so it got destroyed.
We saw in the 11th hour
but we haven't seen the 11th hour yet because we're on this episode. The previous time the Doctor Sonic Screwdriver
We have seen it, though.
No, shut up. In the course of time, the timeline, we haven't seen that. However,
the three initials associated with this are RTD, not JNT.
Shut up. The previous time we saw the Sonic Screwdriver destroyed was in the
Visitation.
It was apparently the end of the Sonic Screwdriver. It's not possible to resurrect it. I was just making that as a subject matter that he could have just fixed it and got another one then. But no, JNT decided that. Can I get on with the blimmin' episode? Hello, Ben.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Ben.
Yes, hear you.
That's all right. You've all gone really quiet for some reason.
Well, what I would suggest you do is turn your headphone.
Strange. I don't know why. You're a lot louder, and I've had to turn you right up today. And I've been
quiet. Don't really go together, Ben.
No. No. I might log off and log back on again because this isn't right.
It's very technical.
Turning it on and off again.
You sound nice, though.
Well, I always sound nice, but thank you for the compliment. James, I can't actually hear what you're saying to me, apart from telling me how great I am, which I think is what you're saying.
Okay, well, I'll carry on with the episode, and you never know.
Yeah,
we might have got another 10 seconds through it by the time you come back.
Okay, I'll see you shortly. So, the only thing I'll say about this episode
I know we haven't done the reviews or anything yet, but...
The only thing I'm going to say about this episode is I hope the person who was the executive producer at the time never comes anywhere near the show again.
Anyway, so she's
be back shortly.
This little old lady who's sucking the blood out of people's necks is doing it to mask her real species against the Jadoon, you see. And so yeah,
it's a good
and
idea,
she's also like also she quite likes the blood. Moving on. Oh, yes. And then there's a point that obviously it was a bit annoying when he snogs Martha. There is a reason behind this snog.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Martha sees another reason behind it, which then, of course, initially turns her sort of in love with the Doctor, sort of. But the Doctor's sort of not interested in this particular...
They kept on with that for at least 4 episodes. They quietly dropped it.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor sneaks in one of the technical rooms within the hospital and finds our little old lady messing around and pretends to be just a bystander and has a conversation with her. But what he wants the woman to do is suck the blood out of him. So it will unmask the... And also, the reason why he kissed Martha is to confuse and hold up the Jadoon, who will find traces of alien material on Martha, but not enough to prove that she isn't human, just the fact that she's been in contact with an alien.
What's Martha going to do with the compensation they gave her?
But can I say, he didn't have to snog her to do that, did he?
No.
He could have rubbed his hands against her cheeks or picked her nose.
Blown his nose
or sneezed
her
on her. That would have been a bit better.
He could have licked her hand instead.
He could have done something that wasn't kissing her.
A bit of earwax.
I know Mary disagrees with me, but I think it would have been probably better to do something that wasn't as intimate as a kiss.
Well, kissing causes an exchange of saliva, so he needed to get more than just, brush up against her.
Do you agree with the kiss then, Mary?
In this situation,
yeah. Good old RTD. Right then. Better get up. Oh, yeah, so that holds...
It shouldn't have lasted that bloody long.
That holds the Jadoon up. Yes. Meanwhile, the old little old lady set some sort of radiation thing going on with this machine. All these sparks are flying everywhere.
Enough of the old lady, Biz.
Eh?
Up for the old lady.
What do you mean?
You're calling her an old lady.
Well, she is a sort of an old lady, is she not?
She's
doesn't looking that old.
Well, I don't know how old she is. I'm going to call her. God's sake. Anyway, so she's the doctor's goading her into doing her straw business on him, and away straw she goes.
And,
drinky. Then of course the Jadoon came into the room and the doctor's dead, and Martha basically
she was 71.
That's oldish, I suppose. Not majorly old, but it's older than me. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody who's in their 70s, but my mum was so shed she was old when she was 70. I'm not saying it's old. I don't think... at least it's not dead, is it? It's just old. What's the problem? Jeez.
And she's not dead yet.
No, my dad didn't make it to his blooming 60s, let alone his 70s. Jeez. Yes?
The definition of old is very fluid.
Yes.
Anyway. So she points a finger at who pretends that she's already been tagged, but they scan her anyway, and then she gets a bit nasty.
Martha scans her again.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I said they. That was a generic they. And she gets a bit nasty and then gets zapped. And then, the doctor gets a bit of, is it CPR?
Yes.
She knows to pump both chests.
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
She knows to pump both sides. I don't remember him saying that he had two hearts.
Blood loss. Is that really the way to resuscitate someone?
He's a time lord.
Time lord, so he's going to...
Quite honestly, it is. Quite honestly, it is. If you're doing proper CPR, someone who's lost blood means that the heart is not pumping effectively anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
So Star is getting the heart going again.
But even if you're a Time Lord, Mary, and you've got two hearts...
Why didn't he regenerate?
Because he was not...
Precisely.
Dead. And the script
because
didn't...
Because he had a three-year contract. Now, stop it.
He's still got another year to go on his contract. Yeah. Anyway, so he's all right. And then the air's starting to disappear because the Jadoon have buggered off now. The air's starting to disappear within the hospital. And,
die, Doctor.
The doctor...
Die.
The doctor is able to do some skullduggery and replace the hospital in exactly the same spot as it left, with connecting all its plumbing and all its electrics
that.
And everything, as if by
Master,
magic.
In
what?
The
Jadoon put it back, not the doctor.
They reversed it.
Love it.
Ding.
No, I just love it.
He's winding you up.
I love winding you up. I think it's so funny. Just for the listeners' benefit, and the subject matter we're going to talk about soon, the next subject we're going to talk about, I posted on the comment thread, disastrous, just to goad Kirby, but it didn't quite go.
That's why you said
it. Yeah,
don't say it.
Has a nice message Deb said to say not to say anything, just so she could get a bit of fun out of it as well. Anyway, so they all go back and Martha goes out in a very sexy little vest outfit and a very tight jeans to a little family gathering.
I love her jacket. I want that jacket.
And then notices that the smug doctor is leaning against his TARDIS and inviting her into his little box. So she goes off with him. After we see the bit at the beginning of the episode where he takes his tie off, etc., just to prove he can travel in time. And of course, we have to have the slightly irritating, oh, it's bigger on the inside thing. And that was a bit of padding for me. I didn't need that, really. Off they warp to the next episode. But there you go. So, Smith and Jones. It's okay. Not a bad way to introduce a new companion. I still maintain it was a little bit annoying that he had to snog her. I accept that it was a good way to exchange the bodily fluids. Probably a less rude way of exchanging bodily fluids in which they could have done, to be fair.
And quicker.
Well, I don't know about that, Ben. But on the whole, it was... it was okay. I thought it was paced quite well. I thought, you know, the introduction of Martha's family was done quite well, very quickly. But then at least we knew who all they were. Sorry, we knew who they all were. That's the word I'm saying. And they didn't have to sort of dwell on it too much. And so we knew they were there. We knew Martha would be worrying about them, and they'd be worrying about her, etc. There's a little bit of, like I say, fantasticalness going on with it. But like I said, three doctors, a unit HQ, another planet. It's not, you know, awful. It's not stupid in terms of Doctor Who-ness. But I did think the Doctor was a little bit on the smug side throughout the episode. And I got a funny feeling he's going to continue to do that until he leaves. Hence the, I don't want to go comment. At the end of his tenure. But anyway, so it was quite an enjoyable first episode of the series. I remember, obviously, at the time, it was the first episode of a new series, so I was particularly excited about being able to sit down and watch Doctor Who and know we had another 12 weeks or 11 weeks of it to go after that. So what did you think about it then, Kirby?
I absolutely love this story. Ooh. It's fun. It's a great, fun introduction to Martha. Martha was one of my favorite... she still is one of my favorite companions, but Donna is my far and above favorite companion. Yeah. But and I also hate the way that the Doctor will eventually be treating her. Huh? And, Rose, I miss Rose. This is a fun story. I love the Jadoon. I love the little subtle nod to the series arc. At the end, which apparently RTD put, he asked for those Vote Saxon things on at the very last minute, to be put on the walls. It's fun. I like a nice humorous Doctor Who episode.
Yes, I got to remember, of course, that Torchwood was on at the same time, wasn't it? If I remember right.
It was
either before this or afterwards.
Saxon stuff.
And Kirby, those Saxon references were not just put on at the last minute. They were put on weeks later when they had to reshoot some scenes.
Ah.
Because that's when he decided to stick those in there.
That's right. I remember that being mentioned.
We got onto the Torchwood set.
Oh, is that the Torchwood set?
No, I said, I jokingly got the posters off the Torchwood set.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, yeah. That does remind me, if I can be pedantic.
Oh,
that's unusual.
Speaking of reshoots, there was a continuity error where the Doctor was locking a door with a sonic screwdriver, which had been destroyed. So they had to reshoot that.
Okay, have you done yet?
I guess.
No, I'm just wondering. Not being nasty. I just wonder if you finished your review of it.
I'm sure I'll interrupt someone else.
Yeah, that's true. Lily Robin said nothing wrong with the kiss. I presume that what's that little lipstick emoji means. And then she says, I've seen that maroon jacket on Amazon. I'm trying to justify getting it. Why not get it? Isabella's got a jacket similar to that colour. Well, it's not. We got it from Sainsbury's. Right then, Ben, what did you think of Smith and Jones?
Well, as you previously said, it was a good start to the new series. I do remember at the time thinking, as you did, excited thoughts about the new series, the new companion, and I seem to remember enjoying it at the time. On reflection, it is a bit of a daft one, isn't it? The hospital's going to the moon. But hey, it's a science fiction program. And if you don't
science
like,
fiction fantasy TV program, Ben. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Science fiction.
Say it right, Ben.
I couldn't remember the other bits, to be honest, and I didn't try. It was a good introduction to Martha. I wasn't ever a massive Martha fan. To me, it was like trying to replace the impossible. Once you'd lost Rose...
That's what the doctor thinks.
Anyone else? It was like trying to replace Alex Ferguson. And this is just my first football reference of the podcast. There is one to come later. It's like trying to replace Alex Ferguson. You know, they in Man United's case, they chose David Moyes, which was an incredibly bad decision. Yeah. And in Doctor Who's case, you know, it was... I mean, she tried her best, didn't she? And people liked her. I won't say I was never a fan. But the episode, it passed off without much incident, apart from obviously a hospital going to the moon.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Good returning.
Tim Drury. Notice I played the whole of the jingle there. Said the one with the blood sucking old deer, good for the. He calls her an old deer. I call an old lady, and I get a load of stick. Oh, and welcome
There's
back on my Sundays. Have been
deers,
a bit empty
you know,
with
the
you.
The old deers will sit there and do their knitting and have their tea and watch
Ben.
Doctor Who, isn't it?
But Tim's being really nice to me.
Calling her an old lady.
Shush. Tim's been really nice to me. So I'm going to read the rest of what he says. He says, and welcome back. My Sundays have been a bit empty with you guys. I presume he means without.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd presume that.
He might. I don't know. He might.
Master.
Yeah. No, it does say with you guys. Oh, dear. Yes?
One thing about Tim, did you know he's pretty much, both he and us are pretty much neck to neck with reviewing all stories.
Do you know? I didn't know that until you told me.
He is, but I mean, he's like right behind
us. I bet he gets through them a bit quicker though, eh?
And I think the only reason that he slowed down is because right now on his podcast he's putting interviews from a convention he just went to.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Right then, Robert, what did you think?
I'm going to be a bit negative because...
oh, God, I've got to try and... go on in.
No, it's... A...
Why?
I hate things...
Relevance.
I hate things like Tennant's campness. I just wish he'd just... a bit serious and
he does sometimes. I think what allow me to interrupt. I don't do it the way Kirby does, by the way. My interruptions make sense. He's very light-hearted on and then when he has to be really serious he changes. It's a massive contrast
that, but...
I think that's what it's there for.
I get what Robert means here is because we've just come from the episode where Donna's been like, find someone to look after you.
Yeah.
He's been sort of left in a kind of a contemplative mood.
And he's still mourning the not death of Rose.
He's sitting smug in bed like nothing's like the Donna episode happened. Yeah.
Okay. Carry on, Robert. Sorry.
But and also like, what were they doing to his bloody hair during the episode as well?
He messed it up himself at one point. I saw him put his fingers through it.
Yeah, but they've done it. It's just like ridiculous. It's not a fan of that. But
I'm not being funny, mate. But if these are the worst things you've got about then how high is your bar?
No, it's just. I don't know.
Sorry.
What is going on?
I don't know, but if we're doing requests, can I have the "It's a Knockout" theme?
Oh, I used to have that.
I used to have that.
You mean the one, you know, when they used to go into Europe and do it? That was a really good story.
Just sans frontières.
That's the one.
Yes.
Go carry on. I'm Googling it.
I don't know. And I did just just some of the stupidness of it is just, it just really grates with me. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Have you tried watching Pride and Prejudice? I mean, that's,
no, I haven't tried watching that.
Be careful. Oh, I love Pride and Prejudice.
I'm sure you do.
But, always will.
You're done. Did you say you were done?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Started talking about this while Robert's dying quietly in the corner.
Robert, are you with us?
He is, yeah. Yeah,
he's got a straw. He's got a straw stuck in his neck. He's just obscuring his airway.
I may need reviving.
Yeah, what stupid things? Please elaborate.
This, as I said, with the, it's like everything works perfectly. I'm sure if they turn the taps on, the water will be flowing, despite not being connected to the water system. It, things like that, you know.
The hot
water to the moon's water system.
The moon doesn't have a water system.
Yes, it does. Have you not been watching the news? Oh, God.
God help me.
reservoir of water just where that hospital landed. Incredibly.
Oh, it was Herb Alpert. I used to have that song.
But, and also things like, why does every time they got some monster around, they've got to do the marching business? And we know it's all done by the same marching coordinator, you know, yes, choreographer. Yes. And they just have to duplicate the same way everybody gets duplicated as well.
But what's the reason behind that, though? Why do they do that?
I mean, have you seen the May Day parades in China or Russia?
Yeah, but that's exactly what it's about, isn't it? That's why it's done like that.
Emulate
it
sort of
like it's all regimented and they're part of some sort of very strict regime, like the Nazis, like the Chinese.
Yeah. God, I've just but they're all the doing it the same way.
Oh, sorry, Robert.
But also, like, so the music as well. There's just too much bloody music, and it's too loud. it's like
not to have Martha's theme.
There's an old expression in this country, mate. Did you get out of bed the wrong time?
He's still in bed.
Yeah, I was thinking the same way, Ben. I'm thinking, Robert, what happened to you?
I've never known you to be so picky.
I'm watching things, I'm watching it with a more critical eye, and I'm not thinking...
That was a song by The Choir, Critical Eye.
What, Critical Eye? Was that the name of a song?
A song by The Choir. It's a band from the Isle of Wight in the 80s. Never got anywhere. Carry on.
But no,
that's the best bit of information you've never said.
Yeah. It's just watching these things again. I want to go into more critical rather than just thinking. And it's just things that are bugging me now that didn't bug me at the time. I mean, it's a bit like that tile thing at the end of Love and Monsters, which is, you know, for a family show. Is off when you think about it now. These things are just like when I watch them now.
Yeah, this one's very kid oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, Robert?
I don't know. It's just
he didn't like it.
He didn't like it. No.
And Martha.
Robert, you need a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this whole thing about Martha now, you know, with the. Oh, I love the doctor.
No, yeah, she hasn't said that yet. Give her a chance.
It's going to drive me absolutely bonkers. I'm going to hate.
That was the whole point of the whole series that year.
Yeah.
And it bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah,
that's why she didn't.
Too,
that's why she didn't stay with him and went off to Torchwood.
That's why when we watched Runaway Bride and I saw Donna and I'm thinking, and then I realized, oh, crap, we've got another whole season series to watch until we see Donna, and we got to go for all this.
Robert,
you can't live your life like that, man.
Really?
Go look on the positive.
Well, we get to Donna eventually.
Right, Robert. Forget about that area of it. Just think that Free Madgerman's very pretty, and she's got a very, her ass looks really great in those tight jeans. That's what I think about it. A bonus for everybody.
I'm sorry, you can't say stuff like that anymore.
I didn't say stuff like that. I was just admiring how great she looked in those tight jeans. Thank you, Robert, for your rather negative but interesting input.
Yes.
Debbie, what do you think?
A web page, Adam, called Agumans Ass.
But there is only one R in Freema. Right then. Yeah, go on, Debbie, what do you think?
It's very difficult to follow what's going on, but there you go.
Yep, you're going to be a ray of sunshine now.
Yeah.
I think you better not light it, Debbie.
More report needs to be made for just how fantastic the Jadoon are. They are
bad. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Brilliant. I love, absolutely love the animatronics in the face, and it's a good monster to use as an intro monster, because a lot of people will have been waiting to start again, because a lot of people didn't like Rose, and then a new generation of kids was coming up wanting to watch Doctor Who.
And may I say, as a monster created by Mr. Russell T. Davis, it's much better than the Slitheen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I like the Slitheen. I like them.
In Sarah Jane, they're good.
The Rats of Folio Parrot. Yeah, them.
Raxacorophalopatapadum.
I knew you couldn't resist it, Kirby.
Say Raxacorophalopatapadum.
See, I did wonder how far I'd get into my review.
Yeah, sorry, carry on. It's about Jadoon. You were saying about you like the Jadoon. I do apologise, Debbie.
Show good, kiss bad, should be shorter. There you go.
Now, enough about reviewing Robert's review.
Can we all do it like that from now on? Can we only give an 8-word review?
I like the haiku reviews. That would be quite good.
You've had your words.
Brandon Moore says, Love and Munsters. I knew he was going to pick up on that.
I liked the music very much.
Well, yes, the music was great, wasn't it, Debbie?
Effects. Yes. I loved the Hemavor. She's amazing. Having pretty much before I saw this advert, I'd watched my way through Dinner Ladies again. And
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, she's in Dinner Ladies. Yeah. It's brilliant. Her timing for comedy is amazing, but to see her in something less comedic was really good. And Isla liked this one very much, and especially loved the way the Jadoon talk. And she also really likes Freema. Freema really appealed to Isla. Someone different, fresher, and she has seen Martha's story arc before. But she's never seen this one. So it was good to sort of get the beginning how they met. But as I said through the rest of it, I don't like how smug he seemed to be through this. Yeah. But on the contrast as well about the hair thing, I like his hair in this, because my husband, when he had hair, used to do his hair like this. And Tom cosplayed as 10 quite a few times. We got quite a few pictures of Tom as 10. And it was, makes my heart go flutter, flutter.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. Robert Venture Jr. says, hi all. And he says, good to have a doctor on the TARDIS besides our doctor. And then also, she's kind of hot. Talking about basically saying what I always said without saying the arse bit. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Delicate about it. You just went stomping straight in.
Why just mince my words? For goodness sake, I'm saying how it is. Thank you, Debbie.
She's got a lovely bunch of cake. I'm just singing this random song.
Thank you. Anyway. Mary, what did you think?
Well, after Robert, I don't think I deserve this music. My feelings are pretty mixed, but a little bit more on the positive side. Speaking of the music in this, I'm telling you, a thrill goes through me every time I hear that Doctor Who theme. So when it starts up, it's like, I am ready. I love, the excitement of watching a Doctor Who episode. And I agree with Debbie. I love the Martha theme that Marie Gold wrote. I think it is so beautiful. I even downloaded it so that I could listen to it other times. So I think he wrote a beautiful theme for her. And I think the special effects in this are great. I don't have a problem with the hospital being moved or anything or being put back. I mean, you know, it's science fiction. Yes. And I agree that the doctor is kind of, you know, full of himself in this whole episode, which was a little off-putting. And I wondered why is he wearing the brown suit at the beginning, you know, when he shows off his tie to Martha, and then at the end, you know, when he has her go into the TARDIS, but he wears the blue suit throughout the, yeah, I just don't understand where that came from, you know, why he's changing suits.
Isn't he wears the blue for,
blue for back in time, and brown for back in time, blue for forward in time, I think, is that right?
Because I'm thinking that he gets changed into the brown suit at the end.
Yes.
Which is what you see him at the beginning is right. Because he's going back into time to
do William Shakespeare. Just to show that little trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why.
He could have done that in any suit. It didn't have to be the brown one.
Just to interrupt you, just for the theme of interrupting on this show, Mary, because Neil James says, hi, everyone. New Facebook
Adam,
group.
If I can just interrupt you there.
Oh, jeez. This is inspired by Mr. Ben Shubler, by the way, this comment. Hi, everyone. New Facebook group suggestion. Martha's stepmum's Norks. Anyone? Okay, never mind. Have a lovely evening.
I've withdrawn from them.
Carry on, Mary.
I think this was a really strong introduction for Martha, but I did read that the producers and all that were not sure how the public would take to Martha. So they made this a very, very light friendship way. Kind of episode. Mm-hmm. So that if Martha didn't work out, because they were so worried about how people would react to the loss of Rose, and then this new companion, that they were ready to yank her character. But apparently she got a lot of, you know, favorable response. So they decided to keep her. And Davies particularly introduced that whole thing about her liking the doctor, falling in love with the doctor. And I think Freema does an absolute wonderful job of the transition when he kisses her. I mean, her whole face changes after that. And so you know that was like the moment. Mm. But Davies loves the idea of unrequited love.
Yeah.
He apparently puts it in a lot of his scripts because it's his belief that unrequited love is the love that lasts the longest.
So
it was on purpose that he wrote for her to be, in upcoming episodes, unrequited in her love for the doctor. Yeah. And I have to say, you know, for all this moaning and groaning about how badly Martha is treated, this next series is a very strong series of stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, aside from how he treats her, I think we have a lot of good stuff to look forward to.
Well, thank you, Mary. Yes. That lovely. Mary.
Yay.
Well done.
Absolutely agree with you.
Absolutely. All right then. Our next section of the show is the feedback section, which of course is initiated by Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Patrick Bishop says, not much to say about Smith and Jones. I enjoyed it when it aired in subsequent viewings. As for the showrunner news, what showrunner news?
I'll let him say it.
I'm very pleased. I know RTD wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I thought he was a good showrunner. Not amazing, but not bad. Mm-hmm. The real story here is just how little faith people have in Chibnall. It's telling that many are ecstatic that an old showrunner is coming back under normal circumstances. People would be outraged. Instead, people, including myself, are sighing relief. Andy Nunn says, news, what news? Do tell.
Why don't we wait until we all discuss it to add the feedback in about bits like this?
Oh, we could always go back. No, because I think we've got enough to say, Ben. I'm confident we have enough to say.
Because Ben Shoveler says nothing.
Everyone else giving their opinions and then us giving ours in a little while.
We could always refer to it.
Ben, you're interrupting yourself.
All the rest is after you is on Smith and Jones, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Carry on. I've lost
Robert Wins Jr. Ben said nothing to tell here. Robert Wins Jr. says, my review of Smith and Jones. Why is he capitalize it like that? That's weird.
Because he's shouting.
Before I start, what was the whole tie thing? Was that the future doctor to remind the new companion, Martha Jones, when the doctor pulls his tie out of his pocket at the end of the episode? The whole Jadoon on the moon thing is great, but can you believe the whole hospital can be transported from the Earth to the moon?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Also, I'm a big vampire fan, and I like the concept of using a straw to suck blood, known as a plasmavore. Hey, I've seen the last season of Buck Rogers and the energy-sucking vampire, so okay. We get future tie-ins to the turn left and at the end of time radiation in Series 4 and later. We find out blood can be used for masking as well as as a misunderstood kiss. We get the second of the Saxon arc in the series. Mm-hmm. Very average story for me. My rating is 3 out of 5. Neil James says, Smith and Jones, what a great start to a new series. The introduction of Martha's family is a fun sequence and gives the episode a real bounce. The supporting cast are fantastic and the hospital setting works well. The doctor even gets to see a little shop. I'm not sure what the general feelings of fandom are, but I've always enjoyed Martha, and I completely believe how this wonderfully strange man just completely blows her mind and sweeps her off her feet. Her first TARDIS scene is great.
He just blows her mind.
What?
What?
I'm just saying that it only blows her mind.
Oh.
Okay, it doesn't say that here.
Her what? It says... This wonderfully strange man just completely blows her mind.
Didn't I say that?
No, you did say that. I'm just saying I'm just glad it's only her mind.
Oh, okay.
Oh, forget it. Forget it.
You confused me.
Forget it.
I'm just shocked.
Her first TARDIS scene is great, and I adore her musical theme. I rarely have much to say about David Tennant. He's not one of my personal favorites, but... That's not to say I don't think he's good. I certainly prefer him with Martha and Donna than I did with Rose. For me, Rose and the Ninth Doctor were a dream team. Finally, what a brilliant creation the Jadoon are. Space rhinos for hire. They must have sounded ludicrous on paper, but they're awesome.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed revisiting this story, and I hope you guys did too. 4 stars out of 5. And if I could make a side note dealing with her entry to the TARDIS...
Mm-hmm.
The last, as she's doing the whole bigger on the inside stuff, David Tennant and the director came up with his mouthing the words behind her.
Yes.
On separately, and they only did that once, and that's the one that made it in.
No, I like that bit.
Yes. I also posted a link to a YouTube of the Zavirax.
Zavirax.
What, to do with pajamas?
Martha references the slabs as Zavirax.
Thank you for that. Anything else?
Just Ian.
Well, Captain. Shall we do this one first?
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes under the new here. It's 10 to 1. No, it's nearly 1 o'clock, in fact, later than I thought. It's Sunday afternoon, the 12th of September. Probably my dad's 97th birthday today.
That's 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, I've just been doing the ironing, which means, of course, I've been watching Doctor Who, been watching Smith and Jones, and I've quite enjoyed it. It's an interesting episode because it's more about the relationship being established between the Doctor and Martha, and less about, you know, you've got an alien who's on the run and being hunted by the space police, but in a way that's almost irrelevant because that was just a way of getting them, getting a hospital on the moon. It's interesting that these things happen and, how did it connect everything up? I wonder, all the mains. I mean, the electricity's still working. How did that happen? I mean, do they have their own generator in the hospital? Not being a medical man with any of the hospitals, I do wonder, perhaps they have got their own one. But the electricity carried on working.
We went over
obviously
that.
Obviously, the air was going to run out, which was going to happen as well. Did the bubble take all the air from outside, though? Because it does seem there's, quite a lot of people there, but there's quite a lot of air. So I do wonder why they ran out so quickly. And... So again, that was just a plot device, wasn't it? One thought, is this the first time we've had a swear word? We had a bloody in it, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, he had a hell as well, but it wouldn't really count as a swear word. However, Judoon, yeah, I'm still not quite sure about them because they are look a bit comical. I mean, Saul McGeddon certainly enjoyed it. You know, reckon it was rhinos. He came and wasn't there if they were goodies or baddies. And, well, they're both supposed to be a bit of each, aren't they?
They are.
But they've got something about them, I think, actually, haven't they? You know, they are.
Horns?
They're more than just dumb muscles. So I think they're a good development. The slabs that they're using, the two guys in the motorbikes, I mean, it's basically, it was straight off Top Gear, isn't it? The Stig, isn't it, really? But, yeah, that's interesting. But no, the interesting one was the way the Martha reacted to the Doctor. You know, first, when she tried to take the stethoscope and, that's interesting, you know. But she's not actually saying anything about the fact she's got two heartbeats. I mean, obviously, she didn't want to show herself up. I do wonder how experienced is she, because she's obviously with all those bunch of students. Is she actually a fully qualified doctor? I mean, don't you say that the exam, at the end, she got exams and things like that. So she's obviously not yet qualified. I don't think we actually do find out how far she's got. I know a bit further down the line when she's... There's one story where she's actually, somebody wouldn't believe she's a doctor because she's black and a woman. And she actually goes to all the bones and the hands. I'm completely off topic. Where this story worked was it just showed the doctor as being a manipulator because he's trying to manipulate the situation to get these people back to Earth. Don't really know why the Dune had to do that. They didn't have to, did they? There was no reason for him to do it. But they did, obviously, didn't they? Hey ho, the upward rain as well. That was quite good. And then they're all back, and there's Martha with her family. Obviously, her parents are split, and family parties—they're fun, aren't they? Yes, and we've all been there, haven't we? But when the doctor tempts her away, and I think her reaction is, you know, it's a wooden box, and then she's head in, and oh my god, and comes outside again, and off they go, and it's also a bit bumpy. The handbrake, as I remember River Song said, you always drive the handbrake on, but the doctor took the handbrake off here.
Yeah.
Is that a reference point where they got it wrong somehow? Anyway, it's a good start. It's a bit lightweight, but I said it was really just about establishing Martha's character and her relationship with the Doctor, and we all know how it went off. Anyway, until then, be seeing you.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I'll just point out that obviously the current writers of Doctor Who are generally Doctor Who fans, most of them at this stage anyway, yet they're not as thoroughly sort of educated in the tiny, tiny details as some of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that may indeed be missed.
Yeah, I think that Moffat may have forgotten that little thing, and
quite possibly
he didn't go back and watch that. No, handbrake had been used.
He probably was too busy writing to do that. Right, we have two bits of feedback from Brandon. The second one's got to be played when we do our discussion in a mew foments. That would have been a strange thing to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's this bit here
in the two runnies.
No go bo ro show mo.
Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This
Good
is
evening.
Mr. M. It's been a long time since we've done this. I assume that this is because Adam's been busy with weddings, which can only be a good thing. Either that or
get my response.
Lazy. But, you know, at least I've not missed too much. At least there's not been any huge developments in the world of Doctor Who. So that's all good. Smith and Jones by RTD1. Picture the scene. This was 2007. I was 10 years old. This was my second series of Doctor Who, and this was more so than series 2, even though you had a new Doctor who they had already been introduced in the Christmas special. So this was my brand new beginning. This was my introduction into a story of a companion.
Ah.
It is interesting, actually, if you compare Smith and Jones with Rose, which was originally, Smith and Jones was going to be called Martha, I believe, at one point.
Yes.
There's a huge difference in tone. The show is paced differently. It's got a huge, broad depth of new music from Murray Gold in this episode, and it does tonally feel like a very different series to only 2 years ago. We get to see a lot about Martha. We get to see a lot of her family, her job. I do feel that we don't get to see a huge amount of her character in this first episode. We get to see her resourcefulness, her determination, but she's almost there for other people rather than there for herself. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a character trait which continues throughout her tenure on the show, but I do think leaves audience investment in her a little bit wanting. But Freema Agyeman is brilliant and does a really good job of portraying this young modern woman very, very well. The Jadoon are brilliant, the latest in a long line of Russell T. Davis's almost fetish of taking Earth animals and turning them into outer space aliens. Anne Reed brilliantly on the right side of scenery chewing as the vampire alien.
Yeah.
And she even brought a straw. The slabs, pretty good alien muscle. Oh, and the Jadoon language as well was brilliant. And yet more work for Nick Briggs.
Yes.
He's going to have one hell of a pension. Yes. These DVD royalties, isn't he? Crikey. Almost as much as Terry Nation. I loved the scene where Martha enters the TARDIS. I like David Tennant mouthing the bigger on the inside. I like the timey-wiminess, you know, with the Doctor going back and taking off his tie. Before timey-wimey was even a thing, he got there first. And, yeah, there's a great feeling of the start of an exciting adventure. And the Doctor's reticence to have Martha on board as a full-time companion is, I would say, almost a little bit insulting and a bit rude.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were Martha, I'd kind of like to have more of a go at him and say, hey, do you want me here or not? Because, you know, I don't want to be hanging around where I'm not wanted. I mean, I guess she eventually did say that to him, didn't she?
But,
come on, dog. Get your act together.
Indeed.
Next week, it's Mr. Shakespeare, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. M. Got something else here as well. That's interesting. Let's play this then.
Hello, 20 megabyte podcast. Hey, what's happening? Humans travel to the moon for the first time since 1972, in a hospital. Unbelievable. The Doctor races Martha to a time paradox. It is a tie. The surface of the moon would not be smooth enough to support the hospital. Oh, it's a science fiction fantasy TV series, and there is a force field. We have a new companion and already there is romantic tension.
God help us.
This is Russell Davis, so there is drama involving the companion's family. I wonder if we will ever hear from Davis again. We will probably have Billy Piper return a couple of times.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Did you know Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall are leaving? Diddly dum and diddly dammer. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you, Ian.
That voice was almost like, who was it who used to send us these very clever recordings?
I can't remember his name now.
And we used to get zapped every week.
But he's obviously done that through a certain Amazon smart speaker device. Yeah. Right then, I've sent some blurb out. The first bit of blurb arrived at Mary's doorstep. Sorry, Deb. Mary, you have something to read out?
Yes, I do, from Linda and Terry Miles.
Ooh.
And it reads, oh, it's not Mel Smith and Griff Rees Jones. I got it. Sorry. Sorry. So sorry. <That's good. laughs> This is the introduction of space rhinos a.k.a. the Jadoon, a mercenary police force who are chasing an alien fugitive called Florence Finnegan, a hemivore played by Anne Reed, who uses a straw to extract blood slash salt. The Doctor gets a new style sonic screwdriver, but better still, it was the debut of Dr. Martha Jones and her, in quotes, wonderful 21st century, end quotes, dysfunctional family. I don't do domestic, so sorry, wrong doctor again. It also firmly established that Harold Saxon is around. This is a name we will come to know later and appeared already well known to ordinary members of the public. Saxon has been previously mentioned in the episodes of Love and Monsters, and of course in the last episode, The Runaway Bride. Mm-hmm. We have the introduction of the haunting Martha's theme. The Doctor is in the Royal Hope Hospital, a.k.a. Tommy's, in London, opposite the House of Commons and its new annex on the moon. There is something going on, and the Doctor wants to check it out. The Jadoon then kidnap the hospital and take it to the moon to find the alien hemivore they are after. I do hope all that weight on the moon's surface doesn't wake up any space dragons.
God.
Oh no, he's at it again. He's worse than Jim Kirk. Please stop kissing. Love the way the Jadoon just leave the people in the hospital to die from the MRI scanner overloading before they all suffocate. Nice of them to put the hospital back in the same place they took it from. Hey, Nani Nani, Shakespeare code next up. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
We're very, very thank you, Linda and Terry Miles.
May I be pedantic?
Might be unusual for you, wouldn't it?
Mary, did he say Love and Monsters reference Saxon?
Yes.
He did, yes.
I just did a search on the entire script.
What a surprise.
Isn't there like a sign on a door somewhere?
Oh, maybe there's a sign. I don't know.
Oh, God's sake.
I may not have mentioned it, but I'm thinking my memory serves me right. I think there's like a poster on a door.
Go and watch Love and Monsters again, Kirby, and come back to us next week with the answer. Right then, Robert Wrench Jr. says 8.7 million watched, I presume the episode we're talking about at the moment. And Lillian Robin said, Andy is time traveling. Yes, because he recorded it when he thought we were doing the episode a couple of weeks ago. And Lillian Robin said, from 2 weeks ago. Right, then Ben Shoveler has some blurbs to read from a certain counsellor.
Oh, okay. By the way, they're right. They're correct.
Hey!
I remember now. I referenced this when we did Love and Monsters. There's a newspaper headline.
I didn't remember before.
There's a newspaper headline from the Daily Telegraph that says Saxon leads polls with 64%. I do remember. I was wrong today.
Anyway.
Ding.
I did a ding. He's not getting another one. Right then, Ben, you have some script from a certain councillor.
You have to acknowledge the Jadoon have a point. Or policing, 10 out of 10 for dedication, but none out of 10 for good practice.
Minus several million for good practice.
But at this point, I would just like to say, for any Extinction Rebellion or Insulate Britain people, I'd like to see the Jadoon sort them out. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Dear 20 megabiters, that wasn't, by the way, Alan T. Butcher's words. They were more.
Yeah. Yes, he couldn't do because he's in politics and he's not allowed to say stuff like this. What are you on about? Carry on.
Dear 20 megabiters, Smith and Jones is, of course, a closely studied examination of private enterprise intrusions into healthcare promising the moon. But since I've been caught up being a delegate at a Labour conference... Those are very much Alan T. Butcher's words. Yeah. I have not had time to study closely what it is really saying about them. It should be noted that...
Mine was better, Ben.
I beat you to it. I can do my own my own bits of music.
Yeah, but mine's very succinct. It just says. And there won't be any copyright issues with that because it's about 4 seconds long. So no, it's even 3 seconds. So that's good. Carry on.
Okay.
Some might say.
No, I'm not doing that bit anymore. It should be noted, while some might say the inclusive, I didn't do it. I'm never doing that again. Now you've ruined it for me. You're lucky I'm gonna carry on reading this, actually.
Did it say some might sulk or some might say?
It should be noted that while some might say the inclusion of bipedal rhinoceroses is a lazy way of delivering a new alien, it does in fact demonstrate a feature of evolution that similar phenotypes can reliably be expected to develop in response to similar environments. So, can we assume that the Jadoon home environment is like an African savanna, but maybe it evolved from an already bipedal creature? I'm just reading words. We also learned that Bojo, mofo.
I was going to actually say that at the
However, it was a good choice to have a very contrasting character to become the companion, and this is a promising start. The taking a hospital to the moon thing may be another sign of the Russell T. Davis tendency to keep getting further and further over the top as he goes along. Still, it's not like he'll come back and pick up from where he left off any time. This story is perhaps one episode too short, and more detailed inclusion of those behind the Jadoon straight away might have had their later appearances more satisfying. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Mm. Which is strange coming from Alan T. Butcher, the Labour councillor. Next up. I'm joking, Alan. I'm not joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I am joking. I'm not joking. Next up, Doctor Who and the Deserted Wife, or Brown and Rowling meet Shakespeare. Those are my thoughts. The wonderful councillor, Alan T. Ricky Butcher.
Well done, Ben.
Have we ever talked about actors in soap? Should we actually talk about patron president of the show, Toby Haydock's appearances in Coronation Street? Have you seen any of them, Mary, over where you are?
Oh yeah, I watch Coronation Street.
Have you seen Toby in them?
Yes, I have.
He's good, isn't he?
What, like a parking officer or something.
He's good, though. Isn't he?
He gets all the roles, doesn't he? Yeah. He gets all the roles.
And
every time he comes on, you look at, you point at the screen and go, I know him!
And this week, mega friend of the show and all of us, Colin Baker, was in Emmerdale for about 5 minutes.
It was nice
to see him.
He didn't like me.
He liked me.
Friend of the show. Oh, my God. Eighth
he
Doctor.
Like me.
What, Paul McGann. God.
Paul McGann was in Holby City.
Yes, he was. But that was a while back, though, wasn't it?
I can't believe just how short he was. The picture I've got of him with me is him hanging off
my
shoulder.
No, he's not short, Debbie. You're just mega tall. You can't just call everybody short. Just mega tall. That's very sizist. Right, finally, we get to the part of the show that everybody's been waiting for, I imagine, but I have a very distinct imagination. It is the revelation and surprise and wonder that Russell T. Davis is coming back to Doctor Who.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Is there anybody else at this point who says that they said this should happen a little while ago? Because I'm not sure anyone else said that. I think somebody did. Who was it?
Actually, Ben, it was me. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, as I listened back to the audio, I said the ideal scenario was that RTD would come back, but it would never happen. I'm so delighted to be wrong. Right then, so I'm just going to start. I'm absolutely thrilled. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was one of those internet things initially, and then I sort of read around and found that it actually was true, and I was jumping around, being very, very happy about it. Obviously, we're currently watching RTD episodes at the moment. They're not perfect, but they've got a certain draw to them, as in they're very, very watchable.
As in they're better than bloody Chibnall.
They're better than Chibnall, better than Moffat. And the consistency of storytelling is of a much higher rate. So most of the series that he did, most of the episodes are really, really good. Yes, there's a bit of silliness going on, but I don't care. As long as Doctor Who is fun, watchable, and not too complicated, and it makes you feel a bit emotional sometimes, which I haven't felt majorly emotional, you know, in most of the stories that have come since RTD left. There's been a few minor exceptions, usually when it comes to the, you know, the departure of a Doctor, that the writers who've done those episodes have done a pretty good job in generating a bit of emotion. But RTD is able to do that just with characters that are only there for that particular episode, and he understands the right writers for Doctor Who anyway. And I'm not saying it's going to be the salvation. I hope it is, but I don't think it's going to be the salvation of Doctor Who. But it has got a chance now with him, hopefully steering it back on track. What will annoy me, however, because I know somebody said the next thing is going to happen is David Tennant's coming back. I would be annoyed
that
if
was
the,
a
if
joke.
It might happen, but I would be annoyed if that did happen.
I wrote that, and it wasn't a joke, and it will happen.
I'd be absolutely gutted, because that means that all the stuff we have watched will be retconned, and I'm sort of not for that at all. If they're going to bring David Tennant back, I think they should bring him back as perhaps the Dr. Donna Doctor, who maybe become Time Lord. And you remember he had the little TARDIS growing doodah, didn't he, when he left? He was given that. So maybe that version of the Doctor is there, but not... We're not going to say, right, Bobby Ewing's just woken up in the shower and all that we've watched over the last few years is gone.
A bar of soap and...
Otherwise, I've just been wasting my time for 500-odd episodes of this podcast.
No, absolutely not. I think what you're missing the point here is that the Doctor's already said that he can come back as any face he wants.
That would be good. That's acceptable.
He saw Capaldi.
He liked that face. He came back. Oh, no. Blimey.
Ben, I've got no problem with that. If he wants to come back as the 14th Doctor...
Yes, but fine. That's what it will be. It won't be back as Doctor 10. He'll be back as 14th Doctor.
That's fine. That's fair.
I guarantee you, I would put... If I was a gambling man, which I am, and I won loads of money on Man United losing yesterday... it's quite obvious at the moment. We're never going to win anything with Ollie in charge, but that's the wrong podcast. David Tennant's first words back in the TARDIS will be, "I told you I didn't want to go."
God. Well, I tell you, I
guarantee it. Absolutely.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if RTD works with the Ruth Doctor.
Okay. That'll be interesting. I'm just delighted he's coming back, because it's hope. It brings hope for me as a Doctor Who fan that
Royal
we're going
to
get some good stuff. Not the Hope Hospital.
Can you hope?
I reckon what my thinking is that the way BBC tend to do things is they either completely muck it up, and when they do muck it up, then they kind of revert to type. And so they've started doing that by bringing back Russell T. Davis. And as I said, I really think David Tennant will be not too far behind.
Hopefully
and I
right.
said, who else I think will be back?
Under those circumstances. Who? Billy Piper?
Donna Noble.
Ooh.
What's she going to do?
They'll work some way into bringing her back, because those two, you know, that was almost golden age of Doctor Who.
I think Tennant will be back for the anniversary one anyway, won't he?
And that's... I reckon they're going to try and recreate, because that's what you need to do to get it back to where it was.
Yes.
So why not do it again? You know, don't people go, "Oh, it might not work again." Can I just point out four little letters? ABBA, okay?
Yes.
I think, though, if you're saying that Tennant's going to come back and play the Doctor, I think he should play a 14th Doctor in a different way than he played the 10th.
Why would they bring him back as the 10th? That doesn't work. You can't do that.
Tennant put a post up on Twitter saying he's not Bond, He's not. He's been the Doctor already. He's not Ginger. Stand down. Is what she wrote. Because David is obviously trending on Twitter because of Russell T. Davies.
Do you know what? It'd be funny if they bring him back, but the Master regenerates into David Tennant, and David Tennant's the Master.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Well,
that's just too confusing for too many people.
Well, I would like to see Matt Smith as the Master.
Oh, would you now?
Oh God, I'd like to see him never near Doctor Who again.
Ooh, harsh.
realise it's not just Russell T. Davies that's coming back. It's the whole production team.
Is it?
It's Julie and I forget the other guy's name. You know,
well, Phil Collinson. Company is that company that's working with them, Bad Wolf Productions.
Do you mean Phil Collinson,
she's
by the way,
that
Mary?
Company.
In that case, you can guarantee that Chris Eccleston will be back as Doctor.
Hello. Is anybody?
Oh, please, no, you can't guarantee.
Hello.
It
was a joke. Yes, he really didn't like.
I just want to know if Mary was talking about Phil Collinson when she said the other member of the team she couldn't remember.
No, that's not the name. No. I wish I could find the thing that I read that
Collinson
names the Bad Wolf team, but there a name that I had never heard of before.
Yeah, Julie Gardner is.
Gardner.
Yeah. Gardner, Russell T. Davis. There's another guy that was a part of the original.
Was it Phil Collinson?
Ben.
No.
You said that a couple of times now.
Was it Mike Rutherford?
What?
Peter Gabriel.
Mike the Mechanics.
No, Genesis.
Well,
sorry,
and
Mary,
when
carry
you
on.
Think that Russell T. Davies and Julie Gardner and that they brought Doctor Who back with a roar after it had been done and dusted.
And now they've got to save it.
So kind of at that point again now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Doctor Who is dead now. So I trust
you
the fact
dead to me.
That he and Julie and that are going to breathe new life.
Oh, I do
you know,
hope so.
Like bring it back like it's a new show again is
but
what I'm
if they
hoping.
Don't. That is the end of it. This is a
the
last.
The other person associated with Bad Wolf Production Company is Jane Tranter.
Jane Tranter.
Obvious now.
Yeah. I think that is the other name, but I thought it was a guy. Okay.
Janie Flu Flu, yes.
So is anybody that was...
I had forgotten that they did the His Dark Materials.
Ah. Is anybody underwhelmed with the announcement of the return of RTD?
I'm a bit underwhelmed.
Are you?
Because, controversial.
You did ask.
you did ask.
Go on, did you think about this just after watching Smith and Jones?
Well, yeah. No, it's because I get the feeling like the BBC are thinking about, oh, well, we stuffed up with Chibnall and Whittaker. So, I know. We had success when we had RTD back in the day. So, let's bring him back.
Well, that sounds logical to me.
Go ahead.
I hold some reservations. Yeah, I mean, you heard the saying about bottling lightning and you can't really bottle lightning. I know he's a much better writer than he was when he did Doctor Who.
Yes, and he must have come up with loads of good ideas in the interim.
Such a good thing, which is what it really needs. I mean, the writing has been atrocious in a lot of these episodes. And like, they never even really wrote for Jodie Whittaker. I mean, most Doctors, they put part of themselves into the role and... Jodie, they didn't write for her as for the part. She brought nothing to the role, really, I don't think, besides being a female. She was very good as a serious actor, but they got her to do this stupid Tennant and Smith lightheart breeze in there, talk 19 to the dozen, and that was not her style of acting. And I think the comedy parts that they put in, it just did not suit her. So I'm hoping that whoever Russell gets in is going to be part of the role rather than and be written for as well, rather than trying to make your doctor fit into the writing. But you know, it's just so much up in the air that we just don't know. As I understand, there's not going to be a regeneration scene for
the Centenary special.
What's going to happen, you know?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Brandon Moore says, Saxon is mentioned in a newspaper, and then he says, the one the Absorbaloff is reading. That's interesting. And then Neil James says, it's on the front page of the newspaper that Victor Kennedy is reading.
Yes, we went over that already.
No, I'm just saying what people have provided these comments. I must read them. It's in the law. Sorry, Robert. Yeah. Carry on.
Adam's Law, which sounds like something that is passed after something horrific has happened.
So what did you think then, Deborah Melrose?
Well, about all this, I'm very much excited, but also apprehensive. You know, I'm sitting well on the fence on this one because it could go either way, spectacularly.
But without it, it'll only go one way. That's the thing. Yeah. Without it, it's just downhill. This has got a chance of rescuing it.
It absolutely, categorically does need a kick up the arse. It really does, because...
See, she used arse there, Ben.
So many people fall out of love with Doctor Who because of the last few seasons has been horrible. It's been we've struggled to find joy in some of the episodes, and but then they've hit us with some really deep, fantastic, wonderfully acted, beautifully written stories, but then surround it with so much fluff, nonsense, but
codswallop.
Ever, and we've done the whole journey. We have watched the ups and downs of Doctor Who.
We haven't done it yet. We're still in it.
Well, of course we are, but we have seen them all now. All of us have pretty much seen every single Doctor Who now that is still...
Apart from the animations.
We will be watching those.
But this is just... this news, I mean, the magic he's brought to... what was that? It's a Sin. That was amazing. Sex Education. You know, he's got the golden touch, and if he can come back and bring back some of the joy that his episodes had, as well as the pathos, as well as that. But the contrary part is, he is also responsible for making Doctor Who companion centric.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, because I loved what he did. I loved how he worked. I loved the team he had around him. It was the golden age of Doctor Who. Yeah. It was. Yeah. And then.
What's the name of the show?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Not bloody Clara, who
is not.
Babies didn't do that. Moffat did that.
Yeah. No, I know, but what I'm saying is, it started off with the root of making the companion.
His writing about Rose and being in love with the Doctor, and it was all about Rose's family, and we were always going back to see Rose's family, and no, that was the kicker. That's got the ball rolling.
You're going to have to live with that, because that's going to continue.
No, I couldn't stand it when it became the Clara show. It got very hard to watch.
Oh yeah,
I don't think so.
Watch, and I know Mary agrees with me on this one. It was
at that point, though, Debbie. Clara was the only good thing about Doctor Who,
which is a bad thing.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
And even what she was saying wasn't that good. It was only good with the volume off. I remember one scene specifically wearing either a blue or yellow sweater that was very good with the volume off.
And then we got like a shield there, and they went off travelling in a TARDIS, and it's like, no, we're not having that as a spin-off. And everybody was like, no, God, no, just let me go.
Spare us.
I will say, though, Debbie...
Russell T. Davis's responsibility.
I will say though, Debbie,
like that, because he laid the groundwork
eventually. Sorry.
To turn the show. I am so excited that he's coming back, because I want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's our only hope. I will say though, in regards to
Russell T. Davis, you're my only hope.
I will say that in regards to series that I enjoyed, I did enjoy Peter Capaldi's series when we had Bill and Nardole Missy. I thought that was a fab series.
Except for the Monk trilogy.
Yeah, nah. Apart from that, yeah, that was a bit naff.
I want to forget those three.
That was terrible. I agree, that was terrible. But Bill, Nardole, and Missy.
That episode with the emoji bots was brilliant.
Yes, that was funny. Anyway, it was supposed to be funny, though, was it? Kirby, what do you think of the resurrection of the RTD
I'm very
era?
Mixed, very mixed about this. First of all, I'm one of the people, obviously, yesterday who, when you got one of you guys put it out on the little group chat, I went, no. And then a few seconds later, I confirmed it and went, okay.
You didn't believe us, did you?
No, he didn't believe us.
No, I did not. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
Because as I've been saying for the past year and a half, 2 years, the show has declined so much that something needed to be done, or it needed to die for another decade.
Either it dies forever or bring it back another 15 years.
It will never, ever die forever.
Okay.
Because the idea is just too fantastic.
Until the BBC cancels it.
Yeah.
Again.
But this is, overall, I'm cautiously optimistic.
It will live on in audio,
won't
it?
Huh?
If the TV show gets cancelled, it will live on in audio.
Yes.
Right.
And the books.
Yeah, exactly.
And comics.
I have seen, I am a bit puzzled because some people keep saying, oh, there's negative stuff about Jodie. And I don't, other than Robert just saying some mildly negative things about Jodie, I think she's a great doctor. The problem with current Doctor Who is not Jodie.
No, I agree.
It's Chibs.
I will.
Did you hear what I said about writing for her, though?
Yes, she did. Yeah. We did hear that. Yes, but I don't think knowing young Doctor Who fans who have come on board since the last 4 or 5 years, obviously they're children, they grow up and they watch Doctor Who and become fans of it. Jodie has been a big inspiration, not just for girls. And I know I had this argument, oh, why don't they bring in just another Time Lord character that's a girl? Yeah, that would be quite inspirational. But the Doctor's the Doctor. It's the main character of the series. And it's been a big inspiration to girls and to transgendered people. They're making a person that was a man, a woman, vice versa. It's just a person at the end of the day. And I know there's the argument both ways, but I know that it has inspired people. I know the Doctor inspires people anyway, but this particular very brave thing that they actually went and done, they were talking about it for years, but they actually went and done it. I think Jodie's taken on that mantle really, really well, and she's put her heart and soul into it. And I'm glad she's going, but I think she's done a great job with what she's been given as the Doctor.
I would love to see RTD have a story or two with
her. Not going to happen.
I know.
But only in an anniversary they might bring about for that, but it's not going to happen as a...
But overall, I am cautiously optimistic. And, you know, several years ago, two of my daughters lost complete interest in Doctor Who. Mm. My youngest one because she didn't want Capaldi. And my geek daughter, after a year of Capaldi, the gruff Capaldi, also gave it up. My geek daughter doesn't, I can't even talk Doctor Who with her at all. She says she will not talk Doctor Who, and she's the one who used to go with me to conventions. My oldest daughter, she watches she's been watching the ones as we've been doing this for a long time. She's never giving up. She's a complete Doctor Who fan, although she prefers the classic. But she is very excited about hearing about RTD.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter, I think, is mildly excited. One thing that happened with her recently, even though we've had HBO Max since HBO Max started, and I was trying to get her interested in watching it, it wasn't until a week ago that she realized that Doctor Who was, that she listened to me and realized the current Doctor Who's on HBO Max, and she's been binge watching. Every time I see her, she's got HBO Max on, and she's watching mainly the Tenet era. And so, well, I'm just cautiously optimistic about.
Yeah, we do have to be cautious, but it brings a little bit of hope to us. That's all it is.
The other thing that mm-hmm. they've got to not do, yes. the other thing which was really one of the things which has been bad for the series,
yeah.
is these huge gaps between series.
Oh, yes. Years, yes, exactly.
Yes. 100%. Hopefully that'll stop when COVID 100%. Completely disappears. Before we move
back in the RTD era, we had a regular series every year.
And Torchwood. And
Christmas specials as well. Brandon Moore says.
And not only that, we were down to this thing where we knew every season that there would be an introduction story, yeah. a back-in-time story, and a future story.
That might be hoping a little bit too much, but you never know. Brandon Moore says, I massively disagree with Debbie. I'll have to go and wake her up to see what he means, because she hasn't actually put any input into this episode. Hang on a sec. Oh, wrong Debbie. Sorry.
Go on then.
That's all he says.
Yeah.
In what way?
He doesn't say in what way, he just says, I massively... Whatever you were talking about, obviously, he massively disagrees with you.
No, I think when Debbie talked about the joy that Russell T. Davies brings to it. That's what I think this thing has been missing. That's what I'm looking forward to. He loves it. I think he's very joyful about that. Mm-hmm. And that's the element that I'm looking for.
I think he will.
Back. I need that back.
He must know. He must have some inkling as what he can do to, obviously, special effects and everything like that and filming locations and equipment has changed since he left the show. So, and the way things are filmed and everything.
Remember, guys, if it weren't for RTD, we would not be doing this right now. We would not be friends.
True.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But can I ask a question before we move on to Mary's thoughts?
No.
Shut up. I'm doing what you say. So we weren't doing the podcast. You know, we'd never done the podcast. Would you lot had continued watching Doctor Who after maybe the first series of Matt Smith?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
No, I do it.
No, see, for me, I mean,
Doctor Who.
I lost interest in it pretty much after Russell T. Davies left. I didn't like Matt Smith. I didn't really like him as a doctor. I didn't think the stories were good. There were a couple of very good ones, but a lot of it was very... Amy was all right. Rory just kept on dying, and that just wasn't...
Oh my God, they killed Rory!
And he kept on falling down to the ground.
But it did become like, oh my God, they've killed Rory. Move on. You know, at that point, I was still watching it, but I started to lose interest. And by the end of Matt Smith, it was just like really tricky. And I said Clara was kind of like one of the reasons I was watching it for a bit. Yeah. And Peter Capaldi was a good doctor with bad stories.
Yeah.
And since Capaldi regenerated, I haven't watched a second of it. Actually, that's not true. I saw the introduction video of that bloke Jodie, and after that, and I'm not, you know, at the moment, I'm just not interested in it. And so for me, I am rather excited about Russell T. Davies coming back. I think
it's nice to have something to excite you about a future Doctor Who, though, isn't it?
Well, when I've been so down about it for the last couple of years, it is. It's like, you know, it's like Alex Ferguson coming back to Man United at the moment. When I'm,
or Ronaldo coming back to Man United.
Never won anything under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And for Americans, that's like Bruce Arena going back to the American national football team. And for the Australians, that's like Kylie going back to Neighbours. It's that big a thing. So, you know, it's...
It's more like Shane Warne becoming young again and starting bowling for Australia, maybe. I don't know.
It's good, you know. It can only be good for the show, and if it doesn't work, then there's only one option for it. Yeah. And you know,
need.
We all know what that is.
So, Mary, what do you think?
Oh well, I've been kind of telling you what I think all along. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I was losing interest during the Matt Smith era because it was becoming very formulaic, and. By the time Peter Capaldi came along and, you know, this dependence on Clara totally turned me off.
God,
so
yeah,
I would have stopped watching early on in the Capaldi era and probably would never have looked it up again. But as I said before, Deb's thing about the joy that Russell T. Davies brings to it, I hope, shines through. Mm. So, yeah, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, and well, I think we're all looking forward to it.
Happened, you know,
it's something it's new like again, and it's a reboot. It's another, the Kirby Lights is reboot. It's a reboot. But I tell you what, I am looking forward to in regards to the journey. I absolutely adore Karen Gillan. I me and Rhys Parton were right on board with the adoration of Amy and so did Isabella. Amy and Karen Gillan. So that I am really looking forward to when we put David Tennant behind us. I'm not necessarily Matt Smith, who I did like as the Doctor, but Karen Gillan was just beautiful.
I liked him with the puns, but once they were gone and Clara came on board, you know, then it started to really thin out for me and not lose interest.
Yeah, it's a sort of interesting idea with the way they brought Clara in with that the Dalek episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
It went nowhere though.
And it just went a bit too sentimental.
Yeah, Tom stopped watching after the puns, basically.
Right, so. Doctor Who news.
Okay. Is there any?
Is there any?
Apparently, Russell T. Davies is rejoining Doctor Who. Now, we have to discuss because remember a few months ago when the news came out that Tony Selby died? And of course, he hadn't. Yeah, it was another Tony. Of course, then Tony Selby has died. And that was quite sad and ironic in some ways. It was sad, obviously, because he died. But the fact that he heard that his death has occurred before he actually died, and then he died. Christopher Eccleston returns to Big Finish. Says Big Finish Productions have confirmed the second series of Doctor Who: The Ninth Doctor Adventures, starring Christopher Eccleston, due to be released throughout 2022 and 2023.
Hey, they've been really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And there's a release of Galaxy 4 Reconstruction, a cartoon reconstruction, which I'd like to see. We reviewed that a long time ago. What?
You don't want to see The Evil of the Daleks?
I think Evil of the Daleks. I think I might have seen that.
I would
it's
love
just
it.
Been released.
When we finish things.
I haven't seen the cartoon version, no.
I would love it when we finish things, if we would go back and do some of these animated reconstructions.
Maybe, it might do that. But he obviously you've got to bear in mind that they've got to be in context. Mary's not keen. We'll start the quiz up again. Only joking,
I like
Mary.
That. No.
I was about to say that the only reason we don't have the quiz is Mary.
Hang on. No. I think the dog wants to come in. Everybody, I've got to open the door up.
I'm with Mary. No.
I might like. I do want to watch them. I don't know if I'd review. I think we. I think we did a pretty good job of reviewing them when we did, and the way we did.
Some of them are crap. Fury from the Deep looks awful, mate.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one. I liked what they did with the faceless ones.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of them, but I would like to see them. Talking of animation,
I did the faceless ones with Earth Station Who, which was very interesting.
We did it anyway. I would like to say there's an animated story coming up that we need to watch, which features Martha as the companion, and I can't remember where it fits into this
timeline.
Is it
Infinite Quest?
Is it Infinite Quest? That might be.
Just this, give me a minute. I'll bring up the database.
Good, and I'll go on about the most recent headline that says.
Is it the Infinite Quest or Dreamland? I think it's Infinite Quest. Dreamland's the
Dreamland
end.
Thank you. Shush. Is not it.
The new book tells a story leading up to. I got indigestion. Hang on. That's better. New book tells a story leading up to Doctor Who's 2005 return, called The Long Game. And it's by Paul Hayes. It's the inside story of how the BBC brought back Doctor Who. And essentially, that's what they're doing again now by bringing back. What's the matter with you? You asked to come in. For God's sake, right. Go on, go open the door, let the dog out. Bye. Thank you. All right, that's it. That's it for news.
Master.
Yes.
The Infinite Quest falls in the sequence of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where that does fall, Doctor What.
Thank you for that, Kirby.
We actually had a podcast about it.
Yes.
In number 125 in Thank August you. Of 2012.
Right.
With you, me, Mary, Rhys, Robert, and some guests.
I thought we'd seen it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know we've seen it.
Wendell and Wes from the... Omega podcast.
Okay.
I know we've seen it, but it's part of the journey, so we need to see it again. Yeah. That's how this works.
Where does it fit in?
Where will it fit? I guess it
that's what she said. We need to find out when this episode fits into how we're going to watch it. Anyway, back to the end of this episode, unless anybody's got anything more to say about the glorious returns of Doctor Who of Russell T. Davis. We can move on to, we're going to be back next week, everybody. Woohoo!
Yay! Any stray feedback? By the way, I'm contracted.
Oh, yes, there was. Well done, Kirby. There was indeed some stray feedback from Brandon Moore.
Oh, yeah, actually, there was something else, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
The guy who wrote this episode, you may not have heard of him or anything that he's done either before or since, but a little birdie told me that the BBC have actually offered him the job of taking over from Chris Chibnall as the new showrunner. So, what do you think about that?
It's wonderful.
I think that there is a profound difference in the styles of Chris Chibnall and Russell T. Davis.
Just a little.
The big difference can be summed up by something that Russell T. Davis said. I think it was in The Writer's Tale, but it might have been somewhere else. So I'm not going to stamp a claim to that source. And Russell T. Davis said that you should never start an episode of Doctor Who or any other science fiction show with two unknown, mysterious alien people on an unknown, mysterious alien planet having an unknown alien mysterious conversation about unknown alien mysterious things, because the audience isn't gonna give a damn about what's going on, because you've got these strange people who, if anything, are insulting in their lack of relatability. Why would you be invested in these random elements, this disparate collection of science fiction oddness? And then cut to the final episode of Jodie Whittaker's first series, The Battle of Rancid Old Koalas, which begins with two mysterious aliens on a mysterious alien planet having a mysterious alien conversation. And
guess you didn't
still
read
don't
the
understand anything that happened in that episode. Perhaps going to the same water to bathe a second time might not be the best thing for Doctor Who going forward. Perhaps it should have more originality, newer directions, a newer, fresher take. But if anybody has the breadth of televisual language and knowledge to give that second take something completely new, I feel like Russell T. Davis, of all of the Doctor Who producers from the past, has that ability. So we shall see.
Indeed.
But my expectations are that it will be very, very different to 2005.
Thank you. I will say,
Master, I have an answer.
Okay.
As far as the Infinite Quest, they basically, it was a 13-part animated serial, which was in like 3-minute installments, starting 2nd of April of 2007 and ending on June 30th, 2007. And they broadcast then the whole thing on June 30th, 2007, just before the last of the Time Lords. So it basically is right there at the very end.
Okay, so we'll watch it before the last
finale.
Regards to what Brandon says and the comment I made about Chris Chibnall, RTD hired Chris Chibnall, so we might still end up with a bit of that. And the other thing, I forgot what the other thing was now. He said about him having maybe not having fresh ideas. I think he's an incredibly talented writer. He's been away from the show creating amazing shows since he left Doctor Who. I'm very confident he's got a rather large backlog in his mind of things to make Doctor Who current and better. Just saying.
Oh, anyway, so,
yep. He's also raised his game a lot since then as well. Sorry, did somebody say something?
I liked the little scene, the little cameo he had in the Five-ish Doctors.
That's the next point I was going to make. It's really made me want to watch the Five-ish Doctors reboot. So I think I might indulge in that.
That is so
reboot?
The Five-ish Doctors reboot. That's what it's called.
Has anybody not seen it?
What?
The Five-ish Doctors reboot.
The Five-ish Doctors reboot. I loved it.
Yeah, I've seen it many times.
It's very, very good.
I first saw it on the 50th anniversary. And it was
stupid.
In some ways, I've got to watch that and the actual 50th anniversary together.
Maybe there are the Five-ish Doctors reboot too for the 60th anniversary.
For the authentic experience.
Anyway, yes. So next week we'll be talking about the Shakespeare Code. And probably still gushing more still about the return of Russell T. Davies. But until then, thanks everybody for your input. And if anybody wants to provide some feedback in regards to their views on the return of RTD, please do so via 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And I've got something for Kirby here for interrupting.
Did we have sponsors?
The very rare reading out of the email address. I'll do that again.
We've got the vardy.co.uk.
I'm not doing that now. Not doing that now.
Is it whowant.co.uk?
No, I'm talking about how people can write in their opinions on the RTD thing, and you spoke right over it, so that would have been
20mb.
Hang on, the dog's barking.
Feedback at.
Stop being naughty. I think she needs to go out for a week.
Sorry,
can't help it.
It's our job.
Yes, or if you want to, if Kirby writes a comment on the 20mb.2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join in regards to your opinions on the RTD return. But we'd like to hear about them.
There's already three threads.
Now he says so.
Yeah.
Great. Well done, Kirby. Sarcastic round of applause. Next week, then, we may be talking about the threads that Kirby just slightly lately mentioned. But until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
Scarecrow.
Bye.
Russell T. Who?
90 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.